Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. It is a good day. It is a God day. It is God's day because he gave us another one, and he didn't have to do it. We are blessed beyond measure to know that we are and daughters of the Most High God. I am grateful that God is good and that his mercy endures forever and all time. You know, this morning we are going to be finishing up the book of Esther, and we're going to be going into the book of Job. And we'll have Bible in just a few after we finish Esther. And I was having a difficult time with the title for the today's show. And then what God gave me, and it came from the book of Job, but it fits the book of Esther, which is the Lord God can change your sorrow to joy. You know, we know that as we get that overview of Esther, that Esther was chosen for such a time. She was chosen to save her people, to change that sorrow to joy, where they were supposed to be annihilated. Then God flipped the script. God flipped it for their good because he loved them and he loved us. What the enemy may mean for evil in your life, God can flip it for your good. He can change your sorrow to joy because that's just how he works. He works that way because why? He loves us. He loves us more than we could ever imagine. And when I went to our prayer for today in our 365 days of prayer, the question was, what do you need today to keep preserving in areas that you've been losing strength? Wow. All places where we just get tired. I'm tired. And you let that word come out of your mouth. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. We got to quit saying the word tired. I know I do because I'm finding myself being tight because I claim it too much. You know, I got to, oh, Lord, I'm so tired. I got to stop that. I'm speaking for me. I can't speak for anybody else. But I know that I have a tendency to say that word, and then the next thing I know, I'm sound asleep. So I wore myself out just speaking it. So we got to quit and say, Lord, I'm good. I'm happy. I'm joyful. I got strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I am good. Great. I'm awake. I'm not asleep. I got work to do. So we got to start speaking into existence the strength that we need to do the job we need to do. And this is the word. It says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And that's from the book of James. Oh, I cannot wait till we get to the book of James. James is all that in some. I love James because James will tell you about yourself. James will tell you about that little tongue behind your teeth. James don't play. And that's why I love the book of James. So get ready when we get to that New Testament word. It will sting just a little. And it says this, helper, you are the strength I need to face the most difficult situations in my life. As many of you know, because we've prayed about it, we've talked about it. Great niece, this funeral is this week coming up. And it's going to be difficult. But we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength because this little girl fought a good fight. And God gave her a complete grace because she was a beautiful angel baby. She was a miracle child. But God loved her best. And when we lose a loved one, as y'all know, I grieved. I was a wailing woman. one of them widows that just had a rough time. But God is slowly, and it took me time. It took time. I was not one of the widows that could lose a husband or a wife or a widower in the next, in 5 months, 6 months, married again. That was not me. A while. I am in the, going to be 13 years in October. But it took me almost 12 years to come to grips, to let go, to give up that grief that had gone from grief to being used by the enemy against me and would take me into depression. And but God, in prayer, that changes things. And as they say, I'm getting dug out of the mountain that I allow the enemy to put me in and behind. So we have to learn to give it all to God. And it says, I am tired of trying to get through with my own limited resources. I can't do this on my own. When the pressure of life demands, threatens to crush me under their weight, the mountains that the enemy has put on us, be the lifter of my burden. We got to get on our knees and give it to God. It doesn't matter what the weather of life looks like. You're always prepared. My life is linked to yours. I'll pull from your power and use it. We've got to give it to God and say, Lord, you are my strength, and you can change my sorrow to joy. And he is every day changing my sorrow to joy. For I know the power of God. I know that with you I can face any trial that comes. I need your presence to fill me with everything I lack in the moment. I know that I can persevere with you feeding me the strength I need. Prayer changes things. Without you, Lord God, I have no hope to get through. I already have given up. You make me resilient. Thank you for your help at every juncture. You fill me with courage to keep on. Father God in heaven, we come to you today, giving this word to you, this mighty word, Lord God, where you came through for Esther. But Lord God, he knew that everything he had came from you, God. Everything we have comes from you, God. As Job said, naked we came into this world, and naked we will leave it, God. So, Father God, I give this word. I give myself away to you to use me for your glory, for your goodness, for your mercy. Lord God, may this word come alive in someone's heart, mind, and spirit, that they will, who do not know you, say, what must I do to be saved? Father God, we give them Jesus. We give them you, God, that they will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, that they will feel your presence through the airways. Those that listen live and listen later, God, may they feel your presence through the airways. May the blood of Jesus cover each and every one of their homes as it covers mine, God. I ask you to continue watching over my sons and my daughter as they travel the highways and the byways to their jobs and home, God. I ask you, God, to guide and lead us, and Lord God, to be our strength as we navigate and move through your word. And Father God, I thank you for the safe journey of my sister and my niece as they, great niece, as they have come into town, Lord God, to be here for the funeral of her granddaughter and my great niece's sister. I ask you, Lord God, to bless them in their coming in and their going out. Give them everything they need and more than they could ever ask for. Bless my niece, God, who is a young woman of strength. And bless, God, all those in her life, all of her children, all of our family, Lord God, for this little miracle who you have taken home, God, is a joy, just as you are the joy of our hearts and minds. Father God, I lift this word up to you, asking you as I ask every day, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. But you, Lord God, are my strength and my redeemer. I cannot do this without you. And Lord God, as I lift up my sister and family, I lift up Sister Carolyn, God, who is under the weather. And we ask you, Lord God, for complete healing. Complete healing, God. For she, every day, time with you to get a word, to lift up, to energize, to give strength. So, Father God, I thank you for my sister in Christ and for the gift that she gives us every day that comes from you. She shares with all of us. So, Father God, as you heal, as you bring forth, as you change sorrow to joy, we ask you, Lord God, to take control and lead us and guide us, that this word will come alive, that we will understand it, will guide us and lead us in clarity and understanding. And Lord God, may you, may his soul be at rest and at peace in your loving arms. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for Dr. Stanley, who has changed my life with this wonderful word in this daily Bible, this study Bible that we use for this walk. It is the Charles F. Stanley Daily Bible. Actually, it's the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. When I do the prayer that I ask you, the prayer question, it comes out of the 365 days of prayer for life. And it doesn't have an author that I can find. All I know is that it comes from the Broad Street Publishing Company. And I love what it says in the beginning. It says, whether you have made prayer a habit for many years or this is your first prayer devotional, inspiration is waiting for you in the daily prayers written here. Ultimately, prayer is a conversation with God. You don't need to use fancy words or recite long passages of scripture. Just talk to God. Open your heart. He adores you, and he's listening to every word you say. Some days your prayers may be filled with gratitude, some days with repentance, some with need. Just lay your heart and your prayers at the Father's feet and wait for his powerful response. As you develop a habit of prayer, think about this. Praise. Begin by telling God how wonderful he is. Focus on which of his many attributes you are grateful for. Repentance. Before you present your needs to God, pause. Take a moment to examine your heart. If God reveals any unconfessed sin, bring it before him and ask for forgiveness. Ask, what do you need from your Father in heaven today? Ask him boldly. He is waiting to grant you the desires of your heart. Yield. Ask as if it will be done and yield to his will. Acknowledge he may know something you don't, or have something even better in mind, but you trust and accept whatever answer you receive. May God bless you as you connect daily with him. That is the intro to our 365 days of prayer. Pray, repent, ask, yield. Pray. And let's just say, pray, repent, ask, yield, push. You got to pray until something happens. And let's get into our word this morning, because even though it does not mention the word God, or prayer in the book of Esther, we know that prayer changed the things that was going on. Oh, Haman and his evil scheming self, who lost his life on yesterday, what he meant for evil against Mordecai, God flipped that script and it happened to him. Don't worry about what people say, what people do. Give them to God and keep it moving. And this is what the word of God says. So join me in the book of Esther and in the book of Job, chapter 1 through, I believe, 4. Let's go and see. It might be 4, yes. Double checking myself. Yep. We'll be reading Job chapter 1 through 4 and Esther chapter 9 and 10. And if God's will, we may even go to our Psalm or Proverbs. And it says this, now in the 12th month, that is the month of Adar, on the 13th day, the time came for the king's command and his decree to be on the day that the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them. The opposite occurred, in that the Jews themselves overpowered those who hated them. The Jews gathered together in their cities throughout all the province of King Assyria to lay hands on those who sought their harm. And no one could withstand them because fear of them fell upon all people. And all the officials of the province, the satraps, the governors, and all those doing the king's work helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's palace, and his fame spread throughout all the provinces. But this man, Mordecai, became increasingly prominent. Thus the Jews defeated all their enemies with the stroke of a sword, with slaughter and destruction, and did what they pleased with those who hated them. And in Shushan, the cathedral, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. Also, Parshandatha, Dalphon, Aspiratha, Adela, Aradath, Parmasa, Arasai, Aradai, and Vajazatha, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hamadatha, the enemy of the Jews, they killed, but they did not lay hands on the plunder. Didn't go after the stuff. Didn't touch the stuff. You know, so many times in war, folks won't go after the plunder. Not this situation. They were protecting their lives. They were not after these folks' stuff. And it says, on that day, the number of those who were killed and Shushan, the cathedral, was brought to the king. And the king said to Queen Esther, the Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men in Shushan, the cathedral, and the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's province? Now, what is your petition? It shall be granted to you. Or what is your further request? It shall be done. Then Esther said, if it pleases the king, there she is, humble and sweet, let it be granted to the Jews who are in Shushan to do again tomorrow according to today's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows. What the enemy meant for evil, God flipped the script. Haman built gallows for Mordecai, and what's happening? He and his sons are winding up on. So the king commanded this to be done. The decree was issued in Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. And the Jews who were in Shushan gathered together again on the 14th day of the month of Adar and killed 300 men at Shushan, and they did not lay a hand on the plunder. The reminder of the Jews in the king's province, the remainder of the Jews in the king's province gathered together and protected their lives, had rest from their enemies and killed 75,000 of their enemies, but they did not lay a hand on the plunder. It was on the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th of the month, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. A day of feasting and gladness. Did not go after stuff. So many times, folks go to war for stuff, whether it's oil, whether it's precious metals, whether it's people. They go to war. And the Jews did not want stuff. They did what they did to protect their lives and to do what God said do. They loved God. And I love this word because I just want y'all to know Adar is March. The Hebrew 6 months of the civil year and the 12th month of the religious year on the Hebrew calendar. Roughly corresponding to the month of March in the Georgian calendar, it is a month of 29 days. For the Jews, even for us, is what, 31 days. But Adar February, and it says Purim is celebrated on the 14th of the Jewish month of Adar, which falls between February and March. It occurs approximately 1 month before Passover. And the 14th of March happens to be my birthday, which is pretty awesome. You know, and it says, are there 2 months of Adar? It's a question that was asked. And it says in this, I believe this is from, the quote is from okosher.org, and it says, the year 5782, 2022, is a Jewish leap year. There are 2 months of Adar. 13 and 12 years ago were regular years, only 1 month of Adar. So, again, we are in the 5783 of the Jewish calendar. So, 5,083 years. And for us, 2023 is 8783 on the Jewish calendar. So, that's just a little bit of history. Adar is the month of March, or it could be February. But again, February 14th, day of love. March 14th, my day that God gave me because he gave me life. Hallelujah. So I thank God for it, the month of Adar. But it was a month of feasting. Of the month they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness, sorrow to joy. But the Jews who were at Shoshan assembled together on the 13th day, as well as on the 14th and on the 15th of the month. They rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore, the Jews of the villages who dwelt in the unwalled towns celebrated the 14th day of the month of Adar with gladness and a holiday and for sending presents to one another. It's like their Christmas. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters to all the Jews near and far who were in all the province of King Assyrus, to establish among them that they should celebrate yearly the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar, as the days on which the Jews had rest from their enemies, as the month which was turned from sorrow to joy for them and from mourning to a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting, joy, and ascending presents to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews accepted the custom which they had begun as Mordecai had written to them, because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, the enemy of the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to annihilate them and cast pure, that is the lot, to consume them and destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, and he commanded the letter that there's a wicked plot which Haman had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. So they call these days Purim, after the name Pur. All the words of this letter, what they had seen concerning this man and what had happened to them, the Jews established and imposed it upon themselves, that their descendants and all who would join them, that without fail they should celebrate these 2 days every year, according to the written instruction and according to the prescribed time, that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, that these days of Purim should not fail to be observed among the Jews, that the memory of them should not perish among their descendants. Then Queen Esther, the daughter of Abihail, Mordecai the Jew, wrote with full authority to confirm this second letter from Purim. And Mordecai sent letters to all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of King Assyrus, of the kingdom of Assyrus, with words of peace and truth, to confirm these days of Purim as their appointed time, as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther had prescribed for them, and as they had decreed for themselves and their descendants concerning manners of their fast and lamenting. So the decree of Esther confirmed these manners of Purim, and it is written in the book. Chapter 10, and King Assyrus imposed tribute on the land and on the islands of the sea. Now all the acts of his power and his might, the accounts of the greatness of Mordecai, to which the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? But Mordecai the Jew was second to King Assyrus, and was great among the Jews, and well received by the multitude of his brethren, seeking the good of his people, and seeking peace to all his countrymen. What a mighty word God gave us in Esther. And to go back over a couple of life lessons and life example, it says in Esther chapter 9, the Jews themselves overpowered those who hated them. Haman never lived to see the total reversal of his diabolical plan. What Satan intended to be a day of slaughter and mourning for the Jews, God turned into a day of rejoicing, sending presents. The sky never grows so dark that God can make a brilliant rainbow out of it. He loves to act on behalf of those who wait for him. And I don't know if I ever told you guys that I saw one day a sleep rainbow. It was like it went from the sky all the way around, almost like a circle. It went from the ground all the way up and all the way down. And it was just, it looked like a big, huge eye, if I wanted to say that. And all I could say was I called it the eye of God. And it was so beautiful that God gave me, I saw a double rainbow. And I thought, Lord, you just show out to let us know that our covenant is with you. You know, and you have folks that get all bent out of shape about, you know, certain groups taking the rainbow. We know that the rainbow is a covenant with God. Don't get bent out of shape when you see it on something else. Just say, do you know what that means? And you may be able to have a conversation about the joy and the peace and the covenant that comes from God, that he will never destroy us again with a flood. Think about it as a way to open a door, and don't get all bent out of shape. You know who you are. Don't worry about what anybody else is thinking. And if somebody has something to say about you and your rainbow shirt, sit down and have a conversation with them about Jesus and about the God that you serve. Esther 10 and 3, Mordecai the Jew was second to King Assyrus and was great among the Jews. Mordecai took his place along with Joseph and Daniel, whoo, Jesus, before him as godly man living in exile, whom God raised to a position of authority second only to the king. God is sovereign and God is good, and God can change the sorrow to joy. Why? Because he's God. Why? Because he loves you. He loves me. The Lord God can change your sorrow to joy. All you got to do is trust him. Mordecai bowing before no man had reason to fudge on what he knew was right. It was Mordecai Mordecai had a choice, either bow before a powerful Persian official or lose his life. Mordecai stood strong, however, and refused to disobey God's commandment against bowing in worship to anyone but him. The lackeys of this vain official tried to reason with Mordecai, but Mordecai refused to bow. Perhaps he remembered God's word. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die and of the son of a man who will be made like grass, and you forget the Lord your maker? Isaiah 51, 12 and 3, and I got to read that again. Who are you to be afraid of a man who will die and of the son of a man who will be made like grass, and you forget the Lord your maker? Isaiah 51, 12 and 13. In the end, God not only spared Mordecai's life, but he made him a powerful and honored public. God means it when he says, those who honor me, I will honor. 1 Samuel 2 and 3. We've got to trust God. And as we go to our next word, we are coming out of the book of Job. And as we go to your Bible, it says, who authored Job? We don't know. And it says the date of Job, unclear, but many believe Job is one of the oldest stories in the Bible, perhaps approximately 2000 B.C. So Job is about, could possibly be 4,000 years old. And it says in 10 words or less, God always human suffering for his own purpose. God allows human suffering for his own purposes. And it says, details please. Head of a large family, Job is a wealthy farmer from a place called Uz. He's perfect and upright. So much so that God calls Satan's attention to him. The devil, unimpressed, asks permission to attack Job's possessions and wipe out thousands of sheep, camels, oxen, donkeys, and worst of all, Job's 10 children. Despite Satan's attack, Job keeps his faith. Satan then receives God's permission to attack Job's health. But in spite of terrible physical suffering, Job refuses to curse God and die, as his wife suggested. Before long, though, Job begins to question why God would allow him, a good man, to suffer so severely. Job's suffering is worsened by the arrival of four friends who begin to accuse him of causing his own trouble by secret sin. Is not thy wickedness great as Elzaphat, the Tammanite? In the end, God himself speaks, vindicating Job before his friends and also addressing the overarching issue of human suffering. God doesn't explain Job's suffering, but asks a series of questions that shows his vast knowledge, implying that Job should simply trust God's way, and Job does, telling God, I know that thou canst do everything. Can, meaning thy can do everything. By story's end, God has restored Job's health, possessions, family, giving him 10 more children. And a quotable, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we are about to read that. Join me in the book of Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. But Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts, as Job did regularly. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. Catch that. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every... You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said the same. Behold, all that he has in your power, only do not lay a hand on his verses. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, when the Sabians raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants which the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine, oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Then arose Job, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. There the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. Hallelujah. And we'll come back to life lessons and questions if time permits. Job chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. So Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for that a man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bones and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd for which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Because understand, this woman has lost everything, just like Job. She has lost her 10 children. So she's grieving. And when people grieve, some don't realize, instead of angry with God, you got to pray. You got to set aside foolishness, and you got to pray. What did our word tell us about prayer? You got to praise God. what you have. You got to repent from being angry about what you lost. You got to ask God for what you need, and you got to yield to his word. Job's wife wasn't there yet. She wasn't Job. She didn't care anymore. She was tired, as we talked about being tired. But he said to her, you, as one of the foolish women speaks, shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity, and we talked about four, because remember, there's a hanger owner with them who also thinks that he needs to have something to say. But his three friends, and it says, heard of all adversity that had come upon him. Each one came from his own place. Elphaz, the Temanite, Beladad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they raised their eyes from afar and did not recognize him, they lifted their voices and wept, and each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke out that his grief was very great. Wow. Again, friends. But we'll find out about the friends on Monday. But this is New Testament. This is Old Testament. Friday, Sunday will be New Testament, Proverbs, Psalm and Proverbs. And then we'll be back to our normal reading of Old Testament, Psalm, Proverbs, and New Testament on Monday. For those that are just joining us, we are in Old Testament Friday. And this is what it says about adversity. And it says, answers to life questions, how God limits adversity. Although God may allow Satan to persecute and accuse us, the Lord also puts a limit on the amount of adversity he allows Satan to send our way. In the case of Job, the Lord stopped Satan the first time by commanding him, do not lay a hand on his person. And the second time with a limiting command, spare his life. Satan had to comply both times, just as he has to comply today with God's limitations on the amount of adversity you and I suffer. As God's children, there is a limit to adversity. It will come to an end. One woman quoted to me a favorite Bible phrase of hers, and it came to pass. She said, just think, it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. Remember that today's troubles are just that, today's trouble. What a word. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. A season of trouble is just that, a season of trouble. Christ is past. Circumstances change. Situations evolve. God works in and through adversity to bring it to an end according to his timetable. Daniel noted that when he prophesied that the beast would be allowed to persecute the saints for a time. The aramaic word of persecute in verse 24 literally means wear out. The enemy of our souls attempts to grind us down, to wear us out, to wring us dry. But God says not completely. Satan can do nothing to us or in us beyond a certain point if we will continue to trust and resist the devil. Furthermore, the Lord does not allow us to be tempted or persecuted beyond our ability to endure. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. What good news this is. God will limit our trials and tribulations and eventually provide a way of escape from them. What's the proverb? Chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. We got to let God direct us. And in Job 1 and 10, have you not made a hedge around him and around his household and around all that he has on every side? Job had no idea of the extent of God's protection that surrounded him and his family. When we joyfully obey God by his Spirit, as Job did, the Lord does the same thing for us that he did for Job. Always remember our behavior matters. Those who are in Christ must learn to invite Jesus to live his life in and through them so that they can increasingly please God and turn away from evil. What the enemy means for evil, God will turn around for our good. Don't let what's going on bother you. God's got it covered. Got it covered. Job arose, robed, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. When tragedy strikes, believers hurt just as much as anyone else. They grieve, but not as others who have no hope. 1 and 4 and 13. We can worship even in tragedy because nothing can separate us from God and his love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Job 2 and 10. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? If God is sovereign and if he loves us, then we must believe that nothing reaches us without first passing through his omnipotent hand. We got to trust God that everything will work for our good. Said it in Romans 8 and 28. We know that God loved us like that. It will work for good for those that love the Lord. We got to love God. Everything. Trusting in him. Keep believing in him. And knowing that he has your best interest at heart. It is hard to live and not know what to do. We got to trust God. We got to believe that he can and that he care of us. That he will guide us and lead us. That he will keep us covered from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. And that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Job was called according to God's purpose for such a time. And it was painful. We all go through. As I was speaking earlier, when I lost my husband, I went through. I was a mess. And even to this day, I have had some messy moments in my life. You got to let go. But I was still trying to hold on. Now I can smile. I can laugh. I can say, what an awesome husband I had. But it's time to move forward. You know, and folks are looking at you crazy like, what? You know, I was 19 years old when I got married. I grew up with this man. I was 54 years old when he, no, I was 51 years old when he died. I just turned, actually I was 52, just turned 52. And he was 56 years old when he passed. But God, we got to say that, but God, because I had 32 years, 3 plus 2 is great. Come on now. And we have to learn how to get over stuff. You don't get over, but you have to learn how to grow because the word of God gave me, because I had a moment. I wasn't strong as Job. I talked to God. And I asked him, I said, why did you take my husband, who was a great man, who was a good man, who was going through God, and he was coming to you for healing? And God said, I healed him. Did you not pray, my will be done? And I'm like, yeah, we prayed the Lord's Prayer. He said, what did you say? Thy will be done. Job told us in his word, and I love what Job said. You know, shall we indeed accept good things, good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? And I had gotten a lot of good from God. And yeah, I go through adversity like everybody else. But I'm learning to say, okay, God, do it all. As Andre Crouch just wrote the song, do it all. Do it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Now is the time, if you have a word from God that you would like to speak, that he has given you, raise your hand and your line will be open. And raising your hand is pushing the number 1 on your phone or dialing 213-943-3597. And your line will be open. And, you know, all I can say is, I know that Sister Carolyn is all in the spiritual wind, because God gives you everything you need. And as I sit here with my eyes filled up, as Sister Carolyn's words come to me, to you, don't be discouraged. If things you pray for haven't happened yet, delay does not mean denial. Have a faith-filled fighting. Faith, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence. Things you pray for hasn't happened yet. Delay does not mean denial. Have a faith-filled fighting. What did Esther do? Fasted. 3 days. No food, no water. For God to move a miracle for the Jews of her time. Job did not curse God and die filled with boils. If anyone has ever had a boil, you know it is painful. And in this day and age, if Job had had boils from the top of his head, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, he would be in intensive care. Instead, he's graving them in ashes, understanding all kind of dirt. He would be an infected mess, about to be septic. And he's sitting in ashes, a bloody, bleeding mess, with all these sores all over him that he's busting and trying to scrape and trying to get rid of. And understand, he was the richest man you can imagine, had it all. Said, oh, he must have done something for God to take away. No, God allowed, and this is a word that we need to remember, God allows the enemy to attack. God allows the enemy to attack. And whatever he's attacking is because God wants to get your attention. He wants to get your attention. Don't get upset if your finances are coming up short. That's because God wants to get your attention to tell you, okay, you're overspending. Now it's time to bring it back in, to calm down, or whatever it is you're doing, you need to stop. You need to stop, because now it's time to get back in order. Get back in to do what you need to do. Everything happens for a purpose and a reason. God will never give you more than you can bear. And as we've spoken many times on this show, we can't take anything with us. All those possessions Job had, his cattle, his children, his wife, they can't go with him. What did Job tell us? Something we need to keep in our mind every time we get so caught up in stuff. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin, nor shame, nor charge God his wrong. We can't take any of this stuff with us. Not our children, not our home, not anything we have. It will all be here for someone else to have to deal with when we leave this earth. So I say to you, Don't get caught up trying to be the Joneses, trying to be like everybody else. Just be who you are, a man or woman of God, trusting him, loving him, and knowing that he always has our best interests at heart. And as Sister Carolyn Clark said, remember what we got to do. We got to trust God, and we got to pray. Trust God and pray. And it says, don't be discouraged if things you pray for haven't happened yet. Delay does not mean denial. Faith-filled Friday family, there's no one that has raised a hand to speak. So we are wrapping it up for you today. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a wonderful weekend. Keep God first in whatever you're doing. And know that he loves you. And it said, I got a couple minutes left. And it said, these dreams, take the light in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. 37th Psalm, verse 4. And it said, God of all my hope, hold back from you today. I readily share with you the dreams that have been simmering in my heart. Those that have been on the back burner are ready for your attention. Whatever desires are filled, and those left to simmer a bit longer, know that I delight in you. Ooh, Sister Carolyn, no. This is from the prayer book that for tomorrow's prayer. And it just fits with Sister Carolyn's words. And God said, read it. And it says this. Whatever desires are filled and those left to simmer a bit longer, know that I delight in you, my King. Your ways are beautiful, and your detail is unmatched. I trust you with every longing and dream, knowing you are not dismissive of your children. I have known your faithful love in my life, and I will continue to see your goodness in immeasurable ways. I am sure of it. Lord, you do not teach me to ignore my own heart. You welcome me to your table, that I would bring all of me to you. Today, as I pour out my dreams, like I would to a trusted friend, I know that you hear me. Not only that, but you dream with me. You are so good. And the question was, what desires can you bring before God today? Letting him share in both the longing and the dreaming. And as we wrap up, because it is a wrap, Sister Carolyn's word one more time. Don't be discouraged if things you prayed for hasn't happened yet. Delay does not mean denial. Have a faith-filled Friday family. And have a wonderful and blessed weekend. Keep trusting God and know, as he said in his word, the Lord can change your sorrow to joy. It is a wrap. Have a blessed day. I gotta go to work. I love you all. God for each and every one of you. Be blessed. It's a wrap.